Hi, I'm Emma, and welcome to the SBL Pre-Seam podcast. Today, I'm talking with Richard, and we're looking closely into Mercer Cope, the pre-seam case study for March 2026 exam. This company looks deceptively straightforward on the surface, but it's packed with complexity that examiners will absolutely expect you to spot.
Great to be here, Emma. Mercy is what I'm going to call it anyway, is a fascinating company because it sits at a real interesting point in its lifetime. You've got a business that looks profitable, it still generates cash, but underneath there's some really concerning trends that most service level readers will miss, I think. That's where marks are won in SBL, in the depth of analysis.
Okay, for the exam in a couple of weeks' time, what should I be expecting from this pre-seam?
Well, you're going to get a scenario question that forces you to make a strategic decision, probably about digital transformation. So, you know, it's a magazine company and they're thinking about what can they do digitally. So they've got to allocate capital, you know, actually how much money they're going to put into it. Possibly a governance question, how there's a regulator and whether they comply with regulations. But as always, the unseen could throw you a curveball about stakeholder conflict or regulatory pressure. The key is that you'll have already read the document multiple times, I hope, looked at my analysis a few times, so you need to extract every nugget of insight you can now before the exam.
Okay, well, let's get stuck in then. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is Mercer Cope and why should we care about understanding the complexities of this company?
Well, first off, it's one of the five largest magazine publishers in Darland, and that has an $8 billion market overall. Now, they're not a tiny niche player, they're a significant player in a consolidated industry. They publish over 300, a huge amount of leisure magazines across 8 distinct divisions, sport, lifestyle, computers, home, all that sort of thing, you know, to sell it to celebrities and entertainment, etc.
Well, that's a really broad remit. Do you think all those divisions are equally important?
Well, honestly, the pre-seam doesn't break it down by division. There's no revenue split or anything like that, which would be useful for me as a reader, but it's interesting that they haven't shown it. So that's something that I'd flag if I were running the company. I'd want granular data on which divisions are doing well. Is the sports doing better than the film or whatever it might be? Now, the lack of that level of detail might suggest it's not been a priority for management. But what we do know is that this breadth gives them exposure to different reader demographics and advertising markets. A computer magazine attracts techie advertisers. A travel magazine attracts tourism and hospitality ads. And it's that diversification that should theoretically be a strength.
All right, so they're diversified across their content. What about geographically?
Well, the pre-seam tells us that the head office is in the capital city in the north, but their distribution hub is in the centre. Remember, the country's Darland. So they operate nationally, which is important because it means distribution logistics really matter. They've got to physically move the printed magazine. So that's a cost they can't afford if they continue to print it themselves.
Okay, and one key thing about this company is that they do something that most of their competitors don't, right?
Yeah, that's right. They print everything themselves in-house. Now, for a publisher, this is unusual. Most competitors will outsource their printing to specialists. Why does it matter? Because it locks in capital costs. All our capital is going into these printing facilities. It creates operational complexity for us. And if the demand dies off, which they are, you're left with these underused facilities and fixed costs that you've got to keep paying. They don't go down just because your volumes have gone down. But we'll come back to that because it's a major strategic issue.
Okay, what about the mission statement? What does that tell us?
Well, the mission is to enhance our readers' lives through the expert provision of information which engages, enables, and entertains them. That's fairly generic, and any publisher could say the same thing. But what's interesting is it's reader-focused. It emphasises expert provision and engagement. For examiners, that means you should be thinking about content quality, curation, and they use AI and outsource content. Could that devalue the whole thing?
Okay, so they seem to be positioning themselves as premium content providers.
Yeah, well, positioning is one thing, delivering on it is another. So let's see how well they're actually living up to that in terms of numbers.